in our time of worship, or whether it is one-on-one between you and God in your private time, man, when you seek His presence. Man, there are times that we get into His presence that sin should really bother us. It really should. You as a follower of Christ, man, you as a believer, does sin bother you? Does sin bother you? Can you sin and think you get away with it? Can you sin and think it has no effect? Can you sin and it absolutely has no bother on you whatsoever? And I'm begging you, please do a self-examination on your heart. Because when we understand that we have come to know a holy and perfect God and the sacrifice of His Son, that we would one day be stainless before Him and innocent before Him. The Bible says in Psalm 97, those who love the Lord will hate evil. Gang, does sin, doesn't mean we never sin, but does it bother you when we sin? When we walk in a direction that is against God, does it bother you? In those moments of worship, man, we should come to a place and say, God, I just want to be in Your presence. And I want to be completely set free from the bondage of sin. And Christ has done that for us, man. It's just amazing. Folks, we're in this series called Guard. Last week, powerful intro to this series in regards to what it is to guard, knowing that Christ has given us a charge and has sent us into the world. In John 17, last week we talked about where Jesus on His last evening was crying out to the Father on our behalf. How amazing that is in itself. But He was asking, if I'm not asking you to take Him out of the world, but I ask you that you protect Him from the evil one. Just as You have sent Me, I have sent them. King, when you know that you have been given a charge by our King to go smack dab in the middle of the enemy's territory, and His prayer is, God, protect him from the evil one. Send him in, but protect him. King, what do we do? Knowing that we're on the enemy's turf, knowing that we have been charged to be there, to win the world, to be different from the world, to be set apart from the world. What have you done to protect yourself? What have you done to guard yourself? And today we're going to talk about what it is to guard your mind. So powerful. Next week we're going to talk about what it is to guard your heart with diligence. Watch over your heart with all diligence, with an intensity, for from it flow the springs or the issues of life. It's so powerful. Next week, from the inside out, man, we're going to talk about what it is to guard your heart, the innermost being. For that, man, life comes. But I think that there is such a war for the mind of man, mankind as a whole. And you begin to understand what this means when you know that the enemy tries to get into your head. Gang, when you are surrounded by the enemy and you're in the enemy's territory, he will try to attack. Of course he'll go after your mind. Of course, when in all of this, knowing that we've been sent to the battlefield, what does it mean when the enemy tries to get into your head? And how many times do you come to a point where you know the enemy, and the enemy has a hold on my mindset? Gang, I see what's taking place here at this church. 6 years ago in my living room, we started this. But gang, you know my story, man. All I want to do is be a cop. All I want to do I had dreams of catching bad guys. I mean, I did. I dreamed like, oh, there's a bad guy, go after him. I just chase. You know how you can dream and you can fly and you can jump and you can like leap over tall buildings like Superman, you know, faster than a speeding bullet. Dreams, catching bad guys. I mean, literally, that's all I wanted to do. And God allowed me to be a police officer, still part-time today, but full-time. And it was my breath. I loved it. SWAT team, undercover team. It was the top of my game. Everything I ever wanted. And that right there, when I knew God was calling me out of that. You want to talk about mind game. You want to talk about what it is for the enemy to get into your head. But God, this is everything to me. I love work. God, this is what I've always dreamed about. Smashing down doors, going after the bad guy, sitting in an undercover car, binoculars. All you do is just watch the bad guy. It's the most amazing, awesome. It's adrenaline. It's everything I live for. And God, I'm good at this. God, I can do this. I've done it with excellence, God. I've got favor in this department. God, I'm good at this. This is everything I've wanted. And then, man, the enemy will just come. Well, God will give you the desires of your heart. Well, God will give you the, man, maybe this isn't the right move. Maybe God isn't calling you. And there's just mind games, mind games, mind games, mind games. Until I knew it was just me following my own desire. When I knew that God really put in my heart, it's time for something greater. But God, this is great retirement. God, this is great pay. God, this is great benefits. There's something greater. I came to see what is happening here in this region through this church. Has everything to do with what God is doing. It has everything to do with God coming and bringing the increase. The Bible says, I can plant and I can water, but God has to bring the increase. Outside of me planting water, if that's all it is, this is a zero work. Please know that there's nothing here. I got nothing for you. If it's not God who brings the increase. And to see what God has done, I'm amazed. I stand in awe. To a place of being humbled. To say, God, I'm just a cop, God. That's my desire. And look what you have done through Believer's Chapel. Look at how many people. And gang, this is the first thing. That's what, I don't want to say it scares me. I'm not intimidated by this. I'm not scared by this. But I'm humbled by this. And there's times that I just stand in awe going, what is happening here? Honestly, God, what is going on here? I'm amazed by this. These people are the most amazing people. I got a text from someone who's out of town who has missed church. And they're like, Sean, we have the greatest people on the planet at our church. And I'm telling you, I hear that all the time, and I say that all the time. We have the greatest people on the planet at Believer's Chapel. And to see what God is doing here, and to think the enemy was playing mind games with me, that can't be God. No, Sean, you're just. Gang, there's a battle for your mind. And it's about us being effective while on the enemy's turf. Now, I want you to see this, man. I want you to hear this morning. Because when you see what will take place this morning in Scripture, you can win the battle for your mind. Because honestly, when you understand, when you change the way you think, you can change the direction you go. When you change the way you think, you can change your direction. Well, Sean, you don't know the abuse I've gone through. Sean, you don't know my upbringing. Sean, you don't know my divorces. You don't know the sexual abuse. You don't know my parents. You don't know. Listen, being a police officer for so many years and being in ministry for so many years, those two worlds have collided, and I've heard and seen almost every story. And I see those who understand what it is to walk in a place to change their mind towards something and walk in absolute, complete, and total victory. In the worst case scenarios. And I've seen those who walk in the worst case scenarios and refuse to change their mind. And they continue to walk in the worst case scenarios. And they can't gain victory. So yes, there is struggles. There is past. Yes, there is pain. Yes, there are things that have gone wrong. Yes, there are absolute, complete, and total desperate, broken situations that there are things that I don't know about. But when you understand what God says about when you change your mind towards something. When you change the way you think, you can have complete and total victory. Please, let's ask God to bless us. God, please, this morning, God, we need your word this morning. God, this is something that so many people struggle in their mindset. So many people know that there is this battle raging for their mind, for their thoughts, for their direction. God, I need your words this morning. Please give me what to speak to those who are here in this specific service. God, thank you for these people. God, thank you that your word is so clear. There is great victory over our mindset. Father, please give us an ear to hear this morning. Give us an eye to see. God, you know every single detail of every single person that's in this place this morning. God, I ask for a specific word for them in their place. Folks, please ask God to speak to you this morning. Father, speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, Romans 12, 1 Samuel 18. You can go to the Old Testament. It's the first and seconds. There's three of them. Go to the first of the first and seconds, kind of towards the first part of the Old Testament. Can't miss it. 1 Samuel 18, and then Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Gang, please know this. No one can think for you. As you turn to Romans 12, we're starting Romans 12. Know this, no one can think for you. And when you come to a place to know all the hurdles that you've had to overcome, maybe the abuse that you've had to overcome, maybe the neglect that you've had to overcome, maybe the abandonment that you've had to overcome, when you understand that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things have gone, new things have come, all things become new. When you get that picture, your mindset becomes your fault. When you come to a place that I am new in Christ and I can have a renewed mind, then we need to come to a place to stop letting other people think for you. Please hear this. You have to come to a place to stop blaming your past, but come to the place to forget what was behind and press on to what is ahead. And you can come to the place to know that when you are new in Christ, Your thoughts are your fault for the good and for the bad. And please hear this. That's how, please get this. You got to know this. That's how those who have been abused, those who have been so broken, those who had to come through the hurt and pain of divorce, that's how you get victory. When you can own up to your own thoughts and say, this thing is not going to own me. That's how you gain the victory. Come on, let's get into this. Romans 12 says this. This is great. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Therefore, I urge you, man, I am begging you, brethren, that's to the church, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, your whole being, your body, your mind, and your soul, everything about you as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Verse 2 says this, powerhouse verse, life-changing verse. One verse can change your world. And it says this, do not be conformed to this world. Gang, when you know this series is based on you and I being planted in this world on purpose, you and I being sent onto the enemy's turf on purpose to win the world, to be light, to be salt, to be the difference makers, that the power of God by His Spirit that reigns and dwells within us sent us to the enemy's camp. And He says this, don't be conformed to the world. Even though we are sent on the enemy's turf and there is the world all around us, everywhere you look, there is the world, Hollywood, movies, television, people, politics, schools, churches, everywhere you go, there's the world. And Jesus put us right in the middle of it. And then He tells us, don't conform to it. Yeah, but it's on every side. It's what we see. It's what we read in the paper. It's what we listen to. It's everywhere. Don't conform to it. Do not take the form of. Conform means to take the form of. Do not take the form. Yeah, but you put me right in the middle of it. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't take on the form of the world. But what? Be transformed. Folks, what is it? What is it that is molding you? Are you being molded by culture? Are you being molded by popular view or public view? Or are you being molded by the everlasting, forever truth of God's word? What is it that is molding you? What is it that you are conforming to? Are you conforming to truth? Because He says, man, you're going to be sent into this world. And you cannot be molded by the world. Your thoughts cannot be formed by the world. Do not be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get this. Here it is. This is the life change. We're in this world surrounded by the world, surrounded by evil, surrounded by negativity. This is the enemy's camp. And when you know that, what are we doing to protect ourselves? That I am not going to mold to that. I'm not going to be formed to that. That is not going to form my opinion. That is not going to mold who I am. That is not, I'm not going to change my direction because of everybody else's direction. But I can be transformed. Here's the change part. This word transform, it's metamorphosis. That's what it is in the Greek. And you understand metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a cocoon to a butterfly. And God is coming to a point to say, you can come back to a place to be transformed, to be changed forever. That place of change. Gang, I have never seen ever a cat or a butterfly try to put himself back into that cocoon. I mean, there's not a video on YouTube that shows a butterfly coming to that place of going in reverse and going back into a place of being in a cocoon. When God says, man, all things become new, old has passed away, there's new life for you, the Spirit of God dwells and reigns in you, there is power in that and there's authority in that. Why on earth would we ever try to go back in to that place of a cocoon when he says you have been transformed? There is a metamorphosis that takes place in our spirit, where all things become new. Where God truly has brought out something that is beautiful. Why would we go back to that place of a cocoon? When you understand what it means to be changed and transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's the power of your mindset, folks. Renewing means something different from the past. A renovation. Not the same. Fresh and new. Different from the past. Gang, when you understand the word repent in Scripture, over and over God tells us repent and believe, repent and believe, repent and believe. The actual word repent, it means to change your mind towards. This is the power of your mindset. When you understand as a Christian or as a believer, when we do walk in sin, or we understand, man, I missed it. God, I walked it away. God, please forgive me. When your mind is changed towards sin, then that 180. Some people say, well, repent means a 180. Well, what has caused that 180? It's because the literal word means to change your mind towards. This is the power of our mindset. When you come to a place and say, I am going to repent. I see it God's way. I'm not going to be molded by the things of this world. What does God say about this? What does God say about that area? What does God say about this view? And we come to a point to change our mind towards that according to God's word. Once our mind is changed, then our direction can change. And when you understand that you are renewed, past is gone, something new. When you recognize, when I change the way I think, I can change my direction. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing. Different from the past in your mind. Gang, if we can get that this morning, if I have the ability to be renewed in my mind, I have the ability to change my direction. I have the ability to not allow the past to beat me up. I have the ability to gain control of my mind. I have the ability to not allow the enemy inside my head. Because I'm different from the past. I have been renewed. Come on, I want you to see this in 1 Samuel, please. Because I think this is something that people struggle with over and over and over. It's when you come to a place to believe a story. When the enemy gets in your head and he makes up a story. Happens to all of us. Somebody said something and we just analyze and we go over it. Well, they didn't say this. So what did they mean? Or they didn't. Man, that person didn't even say hi to me today. Man, why are they so mad at me? Or that person didn't call me today. What is? And our minds can go to a deep, dark place because our mind just made up a story. Well, this person didn't do that. Or why didn't they do that? Or, gang, you know what I've come to know? And know what I love not to do is think for other people. I am not going to think for you. At times, Renee will, and I love her, well, what did they mean? I don't know. I'm not thinking for them. I don't want to be in their head. I don't want to think for them. If they didn't say it, I didn't ask. I'm not a nosy person. I'm not, I don't need to get in your business unless you want me in your business. I don't know what you think. And when you come to a place, you realize that the enemy wants to get in your head and wants you to make up a story. Then he's between your ears, folks. Man, I love it. I don't go there. I don't have this place where I'm all worried about what people think. I am not concerned about what's in your head. So don't think for people. Because you can go to a lot of bad places there. Well, what did they mean? Well, why didn't they do this? Or why didn't they say that? Or why didn't they even say hi to me? Or why hasn't this person called me? Or why hasn't, or why hasn't, or why hasn't? And then your mind just builds and builds and builds and builds. And it makes up a story that's just not true. And I'm going to show you this in 1 Samuel 18. This is at one point, one instant, changed the whole and complete direction of King Saul in one moment. Destroyed his whole life. Come on, it's 1 Samuel 18. This is, you've got David, you've got King Saul. You've got David, who was the son of Jesse. You know the story. David took out Goliath. Everyone else was hiding behind rocks and trees. David shows up to deliver food, and he says, what is wrong with you people? He goes out on the grounds, you know, throws the rock, cuts the head. All is good. David's a hero. Wow. King Saul is watching this going, I need that man on my team. He's seeing this whole thing unfold. He's like, who is that kid? That's Jesse's son. Well, I need him in the palace. I need him on my team. That's what Saul said. So he brings him on his team. Verse 5, 1 Samuel 18. And David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered. Now look at this. David was servant to Saul. David was faithful to Saul. David did whatever Saul asked him to do. And David began to gain the favor of Saul. Saul began to see everything that I've asked him to do, he's done with excellence and it's prospered. Now look at this. Verse 5, David went out everywhere Saul sent him and he prospered. And Saul set him over the men of war. So much so. Man, every time this guy goes out, everywhere I send him, he brings back the victory. Everything has been pleasing to the king. Everything has brought prosperity to the king. So much so that he says, this guy's going to be in charge of my army. This guy, I'm setting him at the top to be in charge of the men of war. That's what an amazing place to be. All David did was serve the king faithfully. And it was pleasing in the sight of all the people and also the sight of Saul's servants. Verse 6, it happened as they were coming when David returned from killing the Philistine that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul. Look at that. To meet King Saul with tambourines and with joy and with musical instruments. And the women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Please hear this. This is where it goes desperately wrong. Who were these people there to honor King Saul? They knew the king had placed David in a place. And the king saw the value of his servant David. King put David over the men of the army, the men of war. And David went out faithfully to serve. Who were these people here? They were here to celebrate King Saul. That's who they were there to celebrate. Knowing what the king has done. Knowing the king assigned this man. And the kingdom began to prosper. And they were there to honor Saul. And the enemy gets into his head. Verse 8 says this. And Saul became very angry. For this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Here it is right here. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? Right there. Right there. What more could he have but the kingdom? Right there in that instance, that's when he made up a story in his mind. David must be after my kingdom. He's done all this. He must be after my kingdom. All David has done has served him faithfully. All David has done has prospered the king. All David has done is only done exactly what the king, everywhere he sent him, David went. He only did what the king told him to do, and he did it with excellence, and he did it faithfully. And then Saul made up a story in his mind. Oh, he must be after my kingdom. Was that truth or was that lie? That was a lie. Even Amalek, one of the priests, Saul went to see the priest because he helped David, and this just infuriated King Saul. Why are you helping? He's like, what are you talking about? What is wrong with you?
Has anyone of all your men been as faithful as David? He even calls the king. What are you talking about? There is no one in your kingdom that has served you as faithfully as David. There is no other motive. There is no other intent. What is wrong with you, king? And he was so far gone that he had the priest killed, his household killed, and that was it. Because King Saul made up a story in his mind, and he believed that it was true, it devastated him. There was murder after murder. He sent his armies after one man. It was just an amazing story. We don't have time to go over everything. And it all started with one thought, folks. Please hear that. How many times have you believed a story? How many times have you allowed the enemy to come in your mind and get you to trust in a story? Listen, please know this. Satan does not want the world to think on God. Satan does not want the world to think about God. You think Hollywood thinks, I wonder what God thinks about this movie. I wonder what God thinks about this song. I wonder what God thinks about this television. I wonder what God... Gang, they have no thoughts towards God. The enemy loves it. And when you come to a place in your mind, I'm not going to allow the enemy to get into my head. I am not going to believe something that's just a made-up story. How many times do we allow the enemy to come in with our insecurities? Oh, you're going to be single forever. Oh, you're never going to find a man. No man's going to love you. No woman could ever love you. You are broken from the past. You have come from this and you have come from that. There's no way. And you just begin to believe these lies where the enemy gets into your head. Gang, please. Please guard yourself against stories that have no fact. Guard yourself. Protect your mind against stories. Against your mind making up a story, because it happens, gang. It snowballs and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. And what if, right in that moment, right here in verse 8, what more could he have but the kingdom? It would be amazing if verse 9 said no. Then King Saul came to his senses and said, yet, but he has only been faithful to me. But it says this in verse 9. Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. That moment, everything changed. Can I ask you a serious question, gang? What lies have you believed? What stories have you told yourself over and over and over? Jealousy is a serious, serious issue. The Bible is very clear in James 3. I want you to see this. James 3:16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder or confusion and every evil thing. That's powerful. Jealousy is a made-up story, folks. Selfish ambition is about self. Where jealousy, a made-up story, and selfish ambition exists. Please, man, don't miss this. There is confusion or there is disorder in every evil thing. And you can put that right back into 1 Samuel 18 and say, King David became jealous and he had selfish ambition. And in that, there was disorder and there was confusion. And every evil thing was piled on. That is an absolute true verse. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that God says, I am not a God of confusion, but of peace. Gang, when you can understand, I am not going to play these mind games. I have been renewed by the power of my mind because Christ is in me. All things become new. Past is gone. Old is passed away. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have been transformed by a sense of metamorphosis. I am no longer in that place of a cocoon, but I have come alive because of Jesus in me. And there is no going back. When you can get to that place, that you get to your mind to be disciplined enough to say, I'm not going to make up a story in my mind. I don't know why that happened. I don't know what that person's saying. I don't know why they didn't say that. I don't know why they said that. I don't know what. And you just don't come to a place to make up a story in your mind. Because we see it. And it's devastating. Because the enemy will take that and he will play with that.
and no one's going to love me. No one's going to care for me. No way my finances turn around. No way that I'm going to get a job. No way. And it's just a game. Folks, what do you put your mind on? Come on, look at this. Philippians 4 says this. God tells us what to put our mind on. Colossians 3:2 says, to set your mind on things above. Set, fix, establish your mind on things above. Isaiah 26:3, please see this verse on the screen. I love this verse. The steadfast of mind. Dang, there's so much about our mindset. There's so much about where we allow. Your thoughts are your fault. Where you allow your mind to go. Please hear this, young people, teenagers, young adults, adults, moms and dads, sons and daughters. Hear this. Where you allow your mind to go is your fault. Because God over and over says where we are, we're supposed to set our mind on things above. We're supposed to have a mind that is steadfast, the steadfast of mind. Look at this. God, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Gang, understand this. Where do you put your mind time? Where is it that you put your mind? Man, I grew up in a home that had this slogan, no stinking thinking. Sean, no stinking thinking. Man, I didn't get a job. Sean, no stinking thinking. Didn't go my way. No stinking thinking. Sean, I failed that test. No stinking. Well, Sean, you didn't study. Okay. Well, no stinking. I mean, some things are your fault. I mean, there are things at times that are my fault. But man, I'm so grateful for that. Man, that has stuck with me forever. No, I'm not going to go there. That's not where I'm in control of my mind, and it's not going there. My mind is going to be set on things above, where Christ is. My mind is going to be steadfast on God, who is my rock, God, who is my refuge, God, who is my shelter, God, who is the one who is called my friend, God, who is my Father. God who is eternal. God who knows my tomorrow. God who knows everything about me. My mind will be stuck on him. Other than that, no stinking thinking. No, my mind is going where I want it to go, and it's not going there. Again, when you understand this, there's power in that. This is when our lives begin to walk in a different direction because we change the way we think. That's not some ooey-gooey positive thing. That's a legit deal in Scripture when you understand the power of your mind. And you look at this, the steadfast of mind. And you can't let your mind waver. You can't go on today, off tomorrow. The steadfast of mind, God, you keep in perfect peace. Why? Because my trust is in you. Write that verse down, folks. Get that to memory. Put that in your heart. That is life-changing when you say, God, my mind, I'm in control. It's not going there. God, my mind will be steadfast on you who's immovable. My mind will be steadfast on you as my rock. You as my shelter. You as my shield. You as my refuge. My mind is stuck on you, God of all power. God of all might. God is everywhere. God who knows everything. God who knows my tomorrow. My mind is steadfast on you. And in that, God, I can have peace because my trust is in you. Come on, give them thanks for that. That's powerful. Hallelujah. Yes. Now look at this. Philippians 4 says it all, man. Come on. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God. Here it is again. God's perfect peace to us whose mind is stuck on him because we can trust him. Don't miss this, please. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Gang, there are moments when life is in absolute chaos, and there are moments of us being in this world that there is crazy all around. You should expect crazy at times. You should expect seasons of wind and rain. You should expect at times, knowing we're on the enemy's turf, that there are going to be some waves to the thing called life. You should expect that. I'm not in this negative mind frame, oh, expect doom and gloom. That's not it at all. In those seasons, we're supposed to have peace. In those seasons, we're supposed to function from a place of joy. in those seasons, we're supposed to be thankful. That changes everything. But gang, the Bible says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. When you're in those seasons, man, there are moments you're just like, God, I have such a peace. How is it that it is crazy all around, but God, I have peace within? Because it's beyond our understanding. And the peace of God, which is beyond comprehension. Look at what it does. Get this. It will guard. It will protect. It will block. That's what that means. Your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Gang, do you have the peace of God this morning? Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. John 14. When you understand that we have the ability to have the very peace of Christ in our lives, who is the Prince of Peace, and we understand everything that comes with our salvation, everything that comes with old is gone, new has come. We recognize that the very peace of God reigns and dwells within us by His Holy Spirit. Again, there's power in that. And it is the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. That is what will block and will guard my mind and my heart in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. Then he tells us, finally, brethren, when it comes to your mindset, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report. Why does our mind always get stuck on the worst case scenario? We feel a lump and all of a sudden we just go to the worst case scenario in our mind. Must be cancer. I'm going to be dead. And you allow your mind to go to that place of the worst case scenario. Why do we do that, folks? What would happen if we got news that wasn't so great? And immediately, in that moment, it's one way or the other. In that moment, no, God, you are my healer. God, you are my protector. God, all things for your glory. God, I'm in this and I will praise your name. God, what would happen, folks, if we honestly had a mind change that, God, you are good. God, you are compassionate. God, you are great. God, you are my healer. And you just begin to get your mind stuck on Him, what the change would be. But how many times does our minds go to the worst case scenario? How many times, and we have some amazing pregnant women in this church. Man, I was out in the foyer and there was like this big huddle taking place in the middle of the foyer. And there was just like one baby, two baby, three baby. It was just like baby crazy. It was awesome. But what happens when you get pregnant and then your mind goes to the worst case scenario? Well, what if? Well, what if? Well, what if? What if? And the enemy loves to get in your head. But what happens when we come to a place to say, no, 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 I'm going to dwell on what is true. I'm going to dwell on what is honorable. I'm going to dwell on what is right. I'm going to dwell on what is pure. I'm going to dwell on what is lovely. I'm going to dwell on what is of a good report. I'm going to dwell on that which is excellent. I'm going to dwell on that which is worthy of praise. That will be my mindset in every circumstance. Because the next verse, this is great. Paul says this, these things which you've learned, received, and heard, and seen in me. He says, practice these things. This is the discipline of this, folks. You need to discipline our mindset. No, my mind's not going there. No, my mind is going to be stuck on Him. I'm going to set my mind on things above. I will let my mind go stinking thinking. I will let my mind go to worst case scenario. I will let my mind make up a story. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to practice these things. These things I'll be disciplined on. And then he says this, and then the peace of God. And then the peace of God will be with you. And it is the peace of God that guards your heart and your mind. Come on, let's pray. Folks, what have you done to protect your mind? Seriously, what have you done to guard your mind, to protect your mind? Knowing, man, we know Bible truth. We know we are surrounded by the world on purpose. We're told to go right in the middle of it. We're told you don't mold to that. Matter of fact, you've been changed from that because you have renewed your mind. What is it to guard your heart and your, what is it to guard your mind against some made up stories?
What is it to have the peace of God? Let me ask a serious question. The peace of God is so vital, folks. It's so vital. So what is it that's stealing your peace? If the peace of God is what guards my heart and mind, if it really is that peace of God that I can have, that is His perfect peace because I trust in Him. If I, honestly, man, if I can have that, if that's the ticket, if that's what it takes to guard my mind, then what is it that we allow to steal our peace? What is in our lives that has robbed us of the peace of God? What is it that we've allowed in that has caused disorder, that has caused confusion, that has caused hurt and pain, that has caused every evil thing? What is it? When God says, I'm not a God of confusion, that's not my game, but I'm a God of peace. I'm not a God of disorder. Gang, I believe that God wants to give us His peace. I believe He really does. He says, I want to give you peace. I want you to be at peace within. Gang, what is it in our lives that have blocked that? Maybe you once knew that, man. You had the peace of God in your life. And your mind was rock solid, man. There was nothing penetrating your mindset. But then it happened. Something. What is that something, folks? That the enemy has used to get into your head to steal the peace of God. So I believe we have to be protected, man. We have got to be protected in this world. God, I pray, please, Father. God, I'm asking by your Holy Spirit right now that you would identify for things in our lives, God, that has stolen that peace. The things in our lives, God, that have taken down that protective wall, that block, that would protect our minds. God, help us to identify that in Jesus' name. God, please, by your Holy Spirit, reveal it on an individual, one-on-one, every person in this place, where that wall has been, that protective good wall has been knocked down. We've allowed the enemy to get in our heads. God, we need your peace. We need to come to that place to trust you again. Gang, please hear this, man. If it is you making up a story in your mind, if you have allowed a story to bring you stress, if you've allowed your mind to go to the worst case scenario, if you always walk with anxiety, please trust in God. Please put your mind on Him. Get yourself in the Word. Get into His presence. The Bible says that in His presence, there is joy. Psalm 16:11. Exodus 33:14 says, His presence will go before you and there you shall find rest. And Acts 3:19, it says, then in His presence there are times of refreshing. Gang, get into His presence, please. Know what it is to get into His Word. Know what it is to get on your face before God in His presence. Trusting in Him and acknowledging Him. Crying out to God of all creation that our minds would be stuck on Him. And in that He will give us a perfect peace, because day after day I trust you. Day after day I trust you. Day after day I trust you, and I can trust you. And I know that you are my rock, and I know that you know all things. God, I will not conform to this world. God, I won't go by the pattern of everyone else. God, my thoughts are my fault. And God, I come before you in my mindset to trust in you. And in His presence, there is rest, and there is peace, and there is joy, and there are those great times of refreshing. Folks, Psalm 34:14 says to seek peace and pursue it, to go after it, to go after it, to go after it. It's that important. We find peace in His presence. And Brennan's just going to sing, and I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to ask that you stay seated today. Gang, if you have not spent time with God in His presence, or day after day you get before Him, and you begin to cry out to Him, God, I will trust You. God, I can only trust in You. I'm not going to believe the report of the world. I'm not going to be conformed to the world. I'm not going to look at this report. God, my report will be on You. You are my rock. God, You know all things. God, You are my shelter. You are my shield. God, I will look to You. Gang, when you can do that, there is a rest and there is a peace that comes over you that surpasses all understanding. At times, you just may not get it, but it's there. That's powerful. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. Brent's going to sing. And in this moment, make up your mind. I'm either going to trust Him, and I'm going to come to a place to be in His presence. And in that, there will be peace. Come home.